Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's delve into some conspiracies.
So he's a genius, but he still expected a horse to be able to turn a knob.
That's Da Vinci, you idiot!
For crying out loud, it's always bloody aliens. This is mental!
Hello and welcome to Weird Tales of the Unexplainable, with me, Tiss, with me, my co-hosts, as always, introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Beefy.
The delay, should I leave that delay when neither of us wanted to go first?
I think Beef's in another country.
Yeah, this is Bob Shoy, I'm ready to record.
How you guys been?
Good, still in my training. I'm like halfway through my training for my new job. It's very long-winded. A few people in my training group have now listened to a few episodes of Weird Tales. So.
Oh, really?
That's a bit weird.
Wow.
That is a bit strange.
I sat down at lunch the other day when the Dinosaurs one went up, and there was like three people on the table like, oh, the new episode's up.
So,
I was like, oh, no. So, yeah, anyone from LCR08 training group listening, hi.
Oh. Wow, that's good. You're a good advocate for the pod.
To be fair, I haven't been subtle about it. I've been wearing my Weird Tales t-shirt to the training. Yeah, stuff.
Super, super subtle.
It was like day two of training and I was wearing my Weird Tales t-shirt.
Like, what's that, Bob? Why are you wearing that t-shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, well, funny you should ask. This old thing.
Well, this old thing. I'm just an award-winning podcast producer and host, but...
Yeah.
Cool.
All that spare time I get. Yeah, I'm pretty just knackered. I'm just really tired. I feel like I've done a swap from the last time we spoke, Bob. You were pretty tired.
Yeah, I feel more awake today, but yeah.
I'm absolutely shattered. So, Tish, you better have a good one.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired myself, but I've got a good one.
Oh, come on, get the hype going. Where's the energy?
I am excited. I'm always excited.
I've had 2 days off work and I'm fucking more tired than ever.
What happens is with Weird Tales, I find every time we start, we're all like, I feel tired. And then when the subject gets announced, it suddenly perks me up. I'm like, ooh, and I get excited.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today's so, Tiss, drop it on us.
Go on, Tiss.
Various Da Vinci conspiracies.
Oh, I like it. I really like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a Da Vinci exhibition in Leeds at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, same in Bristol.
I went to the other weekend with my brothers. It was really interesting. They had loads of like his original pages from his notebooks and things.
Yeah, that's what they had in the Bristol one as well.
Oh, cool. So they must have like split between a few different places in the UK.
Yeah, I think they did.
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, did it have the flood? The Great Flood?
No, stuff? That one wasn't. Oh,
that was really cool. Okay, so what do you guys know about Da Vinci apart from the notebook stuff?
He's in Assassin's Creed 2.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Really?
Fuck, I need to play that game. What happened?
All the Assassin's Creed games sandwich in some famous historical figure at some point. They like cross paths.
Do you have to kill him or does he
like... No, you do missions for him, like his inventions.
No fucking way.
Yeah, you aid him inventing like flying machines and things.
Really?
It's like a side chain of side quests.
Shit.
I think it's in two. It's either in two or one of the like two spin-offs, so like Brotherhood or something. One of the Ezio Assassin's Creed games has Da Vinci in it, yeah.
My God.
I don't think I played any of the... I think Black Flag was the first one I played.
That's the best one.
And then I didn't play any of the others because they're basically the same
game. I'm really burnt out on them. I need to try the new ones. Apparently, everyone says the new ones are better. They're more like RPG. Like, so the Ancient Egypt one and the Ancient Greece one are apparently good again. They're different again, but I found them old ones are so similar.
But Da Vinci, what do I know about Da Vinci? Didn't he paint Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
And Sistine Chapel? Unless you're going to tell me he didn't paint the Sistine Chapel.
I don't know.
He did. He did.
What's in the Sistine Chapel? Is that the one with God and someone else sort of touching fingers?
Touching Fingers is the name of the painting, yeah. Isn't it called Hand of God or something? And it's like, and you've got, God doing that, and then man doing that, and they're sort of touching.
He did the Last Supper, right?
Yeah.
He did do the Last Supper as well.
He also was like a really prolific inventor.
Well, he was a painter, an inventor, an architect, mathematician, sculptor, musician, writer, geologist.
He was like so prolific.
Military engineer, botanist, cartographer, and anatomist.
I was trying to get through to my brothers at the exhibition. They were like, who was he? And I was like, he did so much. Like, but when we came out, they were like really interested in him. But it was like, I was just trying to explain to him, like, he was so ahead of his time with his inventions. He would like draw things that he had thought of that there was no physical way to actually create at that time, but he had the idea so far in advance. It was almost like he was from the future with like how forward thinking his inventions were. He basically like thought of the idea for an aeroplane before anyone could even build that.
Well, on that same vein, he actually designed robots. He designed a knight that was a robot. Well, he actually designed a robotic tiger, which actually functioned. And I'll show you a video of it later.
Wow.
But he also designed a robotic knight that I don't know if it ever got made, but the designs were used by NASA to build RoboNaut 2, which is a current robot.
Really?
So that was 500 years ago. Over 500 years ago, yeah. Same dimensions they used.
There's also a Futurama episode all about him.
Yeah.
There's always a Futurama episode about everything we do.
Futurama. That's a great
episode. I'll find a way to bring it into everything.
But he's pretty much an absolute genius. Or he was. He's not. He's dead now. He's a little bit dead.
Yeah.
But
suffering from the case of the deads.
There's also a Family Guy episode. And it's one of those. It's one of the ones where Stewie and Brian go time traveling. And it ends up like, so one of Stewie's long like ancestors way down is Da Vinci. Yeah.
He's one of those guys where it's like an undisputed genius. Like you can argue the case for certain people, but like he's like in the realm of Einstein where everyone's like, yeah, he's a genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like Stephen Hawking or something like that.
Have you guys ever seen any of his paintings like
in the flesh?
Hand?
Yeah,
in the flesh, yeah.
I've seen the Mona Lisa.
What do you think, Tissy? At the Louvre.
Extremely small. It's a lot smaller than what you'd think. And there's so many people wanting to see it.
That's what she said.
For me, I'm just like, me having seen it doesn't take away from its beauty, so I don't really need to see it.
I mean, it's good.
I don't want to put myself through like crowds to see it. I just trust
the thing
it's
is.
Great.
the thing is the room that it's in the Louvre is you walk in and there's these incredibly intricate detailed paintings that are probably the paintings are like 30 foot high and they go on for like 60-70 foot. They're massive, aren't they?
Yeah,
absolutely ginormous, and they're beautiful.
Yeah,
and then the Mona Lisa's there and it's like A4.
Yeah, it's
like,
so
mate,
small.
Put some effort in.
So I'm going to sound really, really ignorant now.
Okay.
I actually really love going to art galleries. Every time I go to a city, I always check out the art gallery. I've lived in Leeds a couple of months and I've been up to the gallery numerous times. I love going to the big galleries and seeing, great works of art. Never been to France. I've never seen Mona Lisa. This is crazy. I didn't know that Da Vinci painted the Mona Lisa.
Really?
Yeah. I just didn't know that, which is crazy. I live with my girlfriend's a fine art student, and you know, I just never knew that. I don't know why. I just never really thought of who painted the Mona Lisa.
Amazing. So.
Wasn't he also? He was also in Titanic, wasn't he?
That's how he
That's
died.
Da Vinci. He went you down with the idiot. Ship.
Oh man.
Let's watch. There's this first video that kind of just illustrates his genius. It's called The Vitruvian Man. It's the okay. first video I'm going to put on.
That's Ted Ed.
Oh, Tess, you're getting good with the videos, man.
This image of the Vitruvian Man, taken from Leonardo's sketches, has become one of the most recognizable symbols of the Renaissance. But why? It's a simple pen and ink drawing, right? Wrong. Let's start to answer this question with a math problem. I know how to calculate the area of a circle. I take the value for pi and multiply it by the radius squared. I also know how to take the area of a square. I multiply the base by itself. But how can I take the area of a circle and create a square with an equal area? This is a problem often called squaring a circle that was first proposed in the ancient world, and like many ideas of the ancient world, it was given new life during the Renaissance. As it turns out, this problem is impossible to solve because of the nature of pi. But that's another story. Leonardo's sketch, which is influenced by the writings of the Roman architect Vitruvius, places a man firmly at the center of a circle and a square. Vitruvius claimed the navel is the center of the human body, and that if one takes a compass and places the fixed point on the navel, a circle can be drawn perfectly around the body. Additionally, Vitruvius recognized that arm span and height have a nearly perfect correspondence in the human body, thus placing the body perfectly inside a square as well. Leonardo used the ideas of Vitruvius to solve the problem of squaring a circle metaphorically, using mankind as the area for both shapes. Leonardo wasn't just thinking about Vitruvius, though. There was an intellectual movement in Italy at the time called Neoplatonism. This movement took an old concept from the 4th century, developed by Plato and Aristotle, called the Great Chain of Being. This belief holds that the universe has a hierarchy resembling a chain, and that chain starts at the top with God, then travels down through the angels, planets, stars, and all life forms before ending with demons and devils. Early in this philosophic movement, it was thought that mankind's place in this chain was exactly in the center. Because humans have a mortal body accompanied by an immortal soul, we divide the universe nicely in half. Around the time Leonardo sketched the Vitruvian Man, however, a Neoplatonist named Pico della Mirandola had a different idea. He pried mankind off the chain and claimed that humans have a unique ability to take any position they want. Pico claimed that God desired a being capable of comprehending the beautiful and complicated universe he had created. This led to the creation of mankind, which he placed at the center of the universe with the ability to take whatever form he pleases. Mankind, according to Pico, could crawl down the chain and behave like an animal, or crawl up the chain and behave like a god. It's our choice. Looking back at the sketch, we can see that by changing the position of the man, he can fill the irreconcilable areas of a circle and a square. If geometry is the language the universe is written in, then this sketch seems to say we can exist within all its elements. Mankind can fill whatever shape he pleases geometrically and philosophically as well. In this one sketch, Leonardo was able to combine the mathematics, religion, philosophy, architecture, and artistic skill of his age. No wonder it's become such an icon for the entire time period.
Well, there we go.
How crazy was that?
It's really interesting.
The fact that he combined so many themes.
So for listeners, that's the talking about the Vitruvian Man. You'll know the image. If you're not sure, search it. It's the man with his arms outstretched and his legs down, or their legs moved around in a circle or whatever. He's got his willy out.
He's always got his willy out. Statue of David's got his willy out as well.
Yeah, he does. That came up in Pictionary last week with my brother.
Really?
Yeah, to draw Statue of David.
With a cock.
Yeah.
But that's an There's example no of pubes, how he uses different techniques to illustrate different points, like hidden messages.
Yeah, like he's always that's the thing I know that Da Vinci is also famous for, like not just making these great works, but them meaning more than they first appear. There's hidden meanings and symbolism in everything that he creates.
Yeah,
which is why there's so much debate over, you know, The Last Supper and all these famous paintings and things. Yeah. Go on, Beef, you look like you're itching to say something.
So can I just check, because I knew the the picture, I recognised the man in the circle, as I fondly refer to it. I didn't really get the significance. What was he saying about... Because it was quite quiet for me at the beginning. What's the significance of it, of the mathematics behind it, and so how that ties in with philosophy? And
you can't fit a circle perfectly inside a square, is it? Something like that?
They couldn't work out, because of the nature of pi, they couldn't work out an equation that could make a square and a circle fit comfortably within each other for an equation. But they also worked out, well, you know, the arm span of a man is roughly the height, so that you can actually use... he was basically saying you could use men to create shape. So with the arms outstretched and the legs down, it's a square. And with the legs on the side like that, it's a perfect circle. So you could draw around a figure of a man by putting a compass where the navel would be. And the composition of a human man is actually mathematical.
Yeah.
So this is almost going back to the sacred geometry and like mathematics within creation. Really interesting.
Yeah,
I loved the philosophy scale, the philosophical scale that he used to depict how men have the ability to behave like animals, or they have the ability to behave like humans, like gods.
Yeah.
Well, I loved that.
It was another guy that said that, though, wasn't it? Because Da Vinci was we're halfway up the chain between like gods and demons.
Yeah.
Humans sit exactly halfway. Animals are below us and angels are above and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then the other
guy... Yeah, but I loved this other illustration.
Yeah, the other guy was just like, actually, humans have the ability to fit themselves anywhere on that scale. We can be animals. We can be almost godlike. And it's up to us how we appear on the scale. Really interesting.
Yeah. What did you think about that? What was your thought behind Da Vinci's ideas that we are exactly in the middle in creation, Tis?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's hard to really verbalize it. I think you guys did a really good job.
Are you more in the that humans are in the middle, or humans can adjust, though?
No, I would definitely say humans can adjust, definitely.
Right.
We can react to we've got two things within us. One that wants to react to the basis instincts, and one that wants to react in a calm manner because it's like godly.
Lizard brain, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Or we could all choose to do like on Black Books when Bill Bailey swallows the Book of Calm.
We could do that, yeah.
And just become like godly and walk around just...
Totally zen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really interesting.
I loved that. I loved that illustration, and I liked... I didn't really know that was Da Vinci's viewpoint, but I think that would probably make more sense to me, that we do have the ability to... And that's part of human nature, that, you know, we're all hypocrites in the sense that we all have the ability to behave exactly how we want to behave, but we also can be the scum of the earth, and we can be all of those things all at the same time, because that's human nature. We have that within us, the ability to respond to the environment around us, and that
definitely
that depicts our behavior. So it's that was really interesting.
Just that 3-minute video, and that's what the TED videos are really good at, so I've used them on the show a few times, but it's really expanded my knowledge instantly of what the Vitruvian Man is, because it's an image that I've seen a million times, just like everyone knows that image, but I instantly have like a way better understanding of why it was made and what it sort of represents, and and the theories behind it. Like I instantly have more knowledge about this simple thing that I've seen a million times and sort of considered what it is, and now I know, or now I have a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hold on to that knowledge, because there's going to be some videos that will fill you with knowledge maybe you'd rather not hold on to. There's going to be viewpoints from all sides, so it's going to be fun. We've got a few ancient aliens.
It's going to blow it all wide
conspiracies
open.
On here.
Is that what happened to Da Vinci? He got abducted?
Well.
Uh-oh.
So, hello.
So we've established he's a universal genius.
Yeah.
He created military devices. He created the first tank.
Is that good?
Really?
Well, apparently in his design, he designed the tank, but then designed it with a flaw so the tank would never run. So he all of his designs had little flaws so that people couldn't actually make them. He knew the secret of what the flaw was,
right,
but they were designed with flawed, kind of.
So he, say, go back. So he designed the tank as we know it in the sense.
No, he designed his own tank. It was a 360 tank that looked like a UFO.
Oh, I've seen that image. I've seen that image.
He designed it originally for horses, but the horses kept getting scared to get in there, so then he designed it for humans. But he designed for the humans to turn big cogs with massive handles.
What?
Yeah, like the cogs would turn the wheels. The humans would turn big cogs.
Oh, cogs.
Yeah, cogs.
Cogs.
So, yeah, let's delve into some conspiracies.
So he's a genius.
Yeah, he.
But he still expected a horse to be able to turn a knob. How would he do it with the hoof? It'd have to be like, I don't know.
He just get his mouth on it.
He also
They put a little salt cube on the cog, and then
also in his designs, he was known for mirror writing, which is
salt as well, sugar cube.
No, the horses like salt as well. They have salt licks.
Really?
Yeah, salt licks.
Just because your mum likes horses.
Yeah, she got them in the stable.
I would love a salt lick. I'd love a soy sauce lick, because soy sauce is amazing.
The older I get, the more I'm just like, I don't like sweet things anymore. I want just salt. I want bitterness and salt.
Go to Iceland and eat their Haribo, man. All of them. All of them are salty. Salty dogs.
Oh,
man.
You mean at the country, Iceland?
Oh, yeah, no.
I thought you were in the shop.
No.
Yeah, because all of Scandinavia is salted licorice and it's banging.
They fucking love salted shit and it's.
I got a taste for it. I used to hate it, but when I was in Sweden, I got a bit of a taste for it.
Ooh, I'd like to go back there and eat it a little bit more, but I'm kind of grossed out by it as well. So,
my mum's currently in Norway. I'll tell her to bring me some back.
Is it as good as when you get to the bottom of a packet of Discos and you get all that salt at the bottom?
That
of the
hurts.
Bag?
That hurts.
That's, yeah, but it's good though.
Oh, it's good, but it hurts.
It's good pain.
It's like a shot of Sambuca. Yeah. It'll do the trick, but it's going to hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, you better not have a cut in your mouth. Like corners.
Anyway.
Crack on.
So, Leonardo, in his life, between the dates of... Actually, no, I didn't write down the dates. I thought I did. I definitely didn't.
Between some dates.
Between the 1400s... This was in the 1400s at some point.
Right.
He went away for 2 years, disappeared, and then came back to Florence. And when he came back, he'd drawn, like, bird's-eye views of Venice and, like, inventing crazy things. But when he was away, in his diary, he wrote about a cave that he entered, and some people say that he went into this cave to just reflect on himself. You know, like so many sages of the world, they go away for years and meditate, and then come back and get really creative. But of course, there are some that think that he was visited by extraterrestrials.
I was waiting for that.
Oh my days. No.
That he communicated in these caves with extraterrestrial beings.
Did he eat some intergalactic mushrooms?
And
crying out loud. It's always bloody aliens.
Always.
I was waiting for it. I was hoping it would be.
Well, this is some of the stuff. So, okay. I've got a video about the cave.
Oh, it's from Ancient Aliens.
We don't know what happened inside this cave, but it's quite possible that Leonardo da Vinci actually encountered extraterrestrial teachers who then gave him certain information. And it's this knowledge, perhaps, that made Leonardo da Vinci the incredible genius that he was. I'm not sure Leonardo da Vinci went to another world, but I have a feeling that this guy somehow through dreaming or going through some kind of dimension was able to see the future, our future,
those we call geniuses, such as Leonardo da Vinci, are able to discern and detect these codes that are coming to them from these higher levels of reality and utilize them in their work, in their art, in their inventions to improve this physical world that we live in. Unlike other artists, Leonardo da Vinci did not have to measure the ratios and the proportion. It just came to him spontaneously. He was tapping into something that allowed him to bring down knowledge and information, just like the ancient cultures did.
Further evidence of Leonardo's contact with extraterrestrial intelligence can be found by a close examination of one of his most intriguing paintings, The Virgin of the Rocks.
The Virgin of the Rocks is really a showpiece for some of Leonardo's special techniques. We see figures emerging from shadows into spot lighting in a way that other artists of his time didn't do.
In March 2018, author and researcher William Henry traveled to the outskirts of London. There, he met with Da Vinci expert Lynn Pickner in order to get her thoughts on this unique work of art.
I've just come from the National Gallery and experienced the Virgin of the Rocks. When you look at it, you're drawn into it. The colors, the setting,
yeah.
It's almost like it's just coming out of the wall and you're stepping into it.
Yeah, and also there's a sense of there's something lurking in it that we don't really get, that he's holding back a little.
The Virgin of the Rocks depicts the apocryphal story of an early meeting between the infant Jesus and the infant John the Baptist during the time of the Holy Family's flight to Egypt.
In this painting, apparently what we have is the baby John the Baptist kneeling to Jesus, and the Virgin Mary's got her arm round John the Baptist, and there's an archangel who is Uriel. And, oh, so far, so good, you might think, except that the children are with their wrong protectors. I mean, you'd expect Jesus to be with his mother. And it so happens that Uriel is traditionally John the Baptist's protector.
Right. Uriel has a big backstory with informing Noah about the flood, archangel of wisdom.
Yeah. Wisdom is, that's important here.
Celestial being coming from the heavens.
In one of the so-called lost chapters of the Hebrew Bible, known as the Book of Enoch, the archangel Uriel guides Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah, through heaven, where he is taught all the secrets and mysteries of the universe. Is it possible that Da Vinci knew of this lost, and some would say, forbidden chapter of the Bible, and for this reason, deliberately included Uriel as a way of sending a secret message about what he believed to be the extraterrestrial source of his incredible genius?
What'd you think of that?
So much to go into there.
Well,
wow. I was interested, Beef, because they were talking a lot of theology there. What your take was on that?
So the Book of Enoch is one of the apocryphal books that I've spoken about previously. And when they use words like forbidden, you're like, it's not forbidden, there's nothing forbidden.
Well, that's ancient aliens, isn't it? Trying to be all...
Yeah.
The forbidden texts.
The forbidden text of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not forbidden. It's there's a lack of, so you use textual criticism to be able to, which is a science you apply to work out how credible texts are, and particularly historic texts. And quite simply, the Book of Enoch is one of the books that would not be, or is not as credible as the other books. So
we went through
Bible.
It in a fair more detail on the conspiracies of the Bible, that episode, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Conspiracies of the Church, the Bible, that episode. We talked about it quite a lot on there.
Yeah. So I was laughing at the, but I think it's, I guess when it comes down to art, I mean, I don't know, maybe he was using his art to get some kind of message across about celestial beings and maybe his encounter with a celestial being, but it's art, it's up for interpretation, but I mean I felt like she was talking about it like it was pretty much fact.
A lot of these experts do talk about this stuff like it's fact, though, on these programs. Like, one of them said, like, he had absolutely no doubt that Da Vinci was in contact with aliens.
And No doubt.
No doubt at all.
Absolutely no doubt.
Amazing. No doubt. That's mental.
But then you watch, like, TED Talk and History Channel, or not actually other History Channel stuff, and then people will be sort of, like, less sure of themselves, and then you're like,
the History Channel's crazy. The History Channel shouldn't really have that name.
I'm glad they never gave us that TV show.
That was Discovery, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Discovery. Well, we're not supposed to talk about that on the pod, but okay.
cut that.
I'm leaving it in. Fuck him, it's too late now. We haven't heard back from now. It's not happening.
Nothing.
One point I did think of was I was shaking my head a lot at this idea that keeps coming up when we talk about ancient aliens, of people who are geniuses gaining their knowledge from aliens.
Yeah, they can't just be a genius.
No, I know. But one thing I did think of, I don't know this for absolute certain, but I'm pretty sure that Dmitri Mendeleev, the guy who produced what we now know as the modern periodic table of elements, claimed to have got that as a layout in a dream. And the dream that he'd had, he felt like it was God inspired, which is interesting, but I guess it's a little bit different to aliens. You're like, can't people just be clever? Like, can't people just be intelligent?
Yeah, there's got to be rub in human creation evolution for there to be these outliers of you know, genius, of pure genius, because you know, every human is made up of, you know, its own complex genome or whatever. So there's got to be some combinations where it's just like there's a spark of amazingness within certain people. But no, we can't allow that. It has to be aliens who gave him the knowledge.
Yeah. I really hope that one day we discover aliens for real and it's plastered all over the internet and they're as thick as shit.
On that subject, actually, I'd like to show you some more.
On that subject?
Just quickly, of the aliens that Da Vinci came in contact with. Because
there's a picture of them.
No, this is something that will be quite funny. It's too funny not to put in.
All right, okay.
Right,
it's,
okay.
It's an alien, ancient alien astronaut theorist's way of deciphering the Da Vinci Code. Because he mirror wrote. Did you know he mirror wrote quite a lot? You must have seen
it. You mentioned that before.
Did you see that on his notebook, though? You know, the language looks quite strange. That's because it's written backwards with his left hand.
I did see some of that, but I didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah, so he mirror wrote a lot. So he used mirrors. Use a mirror, and you can see what's there because he wrote backwards, basically to hide his secrets from prying eyes.
They just need a mirror.
Yeah.
Prying eyes.
Prying eyes. I got the train or something. But also, so they've put that to the test as if we put mirrors on the paintings, they will show us secret meanings as well.
Right,
and
okay.
The results
are... He painted with his left hand as well.
Are amazing. Can you see that?
So they're mirroring Mona Lisa.
Is this helmet-shaped creature simply the product of a parlor trick?
Yeah.
If so, then why can a similar creature be seen in another famous painting by Da Vinci?
This is mental.
It's Predator.
Virgin child with Saint Anne. Well, this painting, Virgin of the Rocks, we always notice the dramatic hand poses of Leonardo. Is that giving us a hint about where to put the reflective plane? So we're in a 3D environment here. And if we want, we just make a little duplicate. Come in closer.
What the fuck?
Oh, this is taking the piss. This is mental.
Oh my god, so for listeners, these guys are getting famous Da Vinci paintings and putting a mirror down the middle of them to make the people's faces look fucked up, and they're saying that's what the aliens actually look like.
That's, this is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's amazing, the sort of thing that you do with your iPhone. You just like this yeah. is dicking about.
It's a face app thing.
It's yeah, a
really popular TV show. It's just doing that.
That is, I don't know how anyone can watch that with a straight face.
It's shameless.
No. Like, I don't know how anyone can watch that and think, "Well, yeah, maybe."
No, that is absolute wank. Absolute
a hell of a
wank.
Lot of people watch Ancient Aliens and think yeah. that's real.
I'm gonna coin Beef's favorite phrase. That is absolute drivel.
That is absolute drivel. Proper shit. It annoys me. It annoys me.
I am glad you showed
yeah,
it to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, yeah. It's enriched my life.
I had to. It's like the flat earth, where it's like, what? How? Where's your physics now?
Yeah. those sort of things. Just it doesn't do them any favors. Those theorists, because it's so no. stupid that their ideas that aren't as stupid look more preposterous.
But here's
when
the thing.
Put alongside that,
is it so stupid or are they making a shitload of money from making stupid shit, so they just carry on making stupid shit? Like, there's stupid enough people to not listen to us about it.
That's true. I mean, they're more likely to listen to them than us.
Of course.
Nowadays, yeah.
And they do. Ancient Aliens has a few more viewers than we have listeners.
It's just great to get stoned and watch, because it's like, you haven't seen Rick and Morty, so you don't understand the reference, but it's Universal Cable. Universal right. Cable was a segment on the show where they just do sketches of this TV that can show a TV channel from any dimension, universe, anything
right,
that exists.
Right, yeah.
So anything can get chucked up. So it's like watching that. Like, you just don't know what the fuck they're going to say. Usually it's they had contact with aliens. And then usually yeah. it's sort of like a little sort of segment where they show loads of clips of the thing supporting their argument. And then they just say, this is true. It's great. So the other conspiracy that we're going to look into.
I am going to say, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't buy the alien theory.
No.
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 There's a more interesting one that I haven't found, but Lids found earlier. And it was to do with when he went in the cave, apparently he saw a massive whale.
Right.
Like a whale skeleton.
Moby Dick.
And that is why he painted a lot of floods and a lot of cataclysmic events, because right. he realized from seeing the whale in that cave that sea level must have been really high at one point around those lands, and he surmised that the flood that was in the Bible happened.
Tis?
Yeah.
Is it pretty much fact that he ended up in this cave, or is this just like folklore?
No, definitely fact. It was in his diary. He did. He found the cave, and the entry in his diary is something about the darkness of it really scared him to see what was in there.
This cave reminds me of Empire Strikes Back, when Luke goes into the cave to face his dark visions.
Well, yeah,
he sees Vader as himself.
Well, yeah, it might have been from Da Vinci that they got the idea.
Vision cave.
Because he says in his diary that it was... Well, he didn't put a lot of entries in his diary, but this one he put in, so they surmised that maybe this was quite an impactful event, and then, you know, other people hijack that with the alien angle, but
yeah.
It is known that he went into a cave, not known right. what was in there.
Okay.
But he came back changed.
A changed man.
There's a really good There's a really good article on Quora. And Bob, I'm going to send you a whole list of all the links to all the videos.
Cool. Yeah, it'll all be on the blog for
this. But I'll send you this. This is someone's article about the subject of the cave. Short answer, Leonardo went to the mysterious cave to master creativity with some sort of insanity to discover himself. Other people would say Leonardo went to a mysterious cave to master creativity from extraterrestrials with some sort of insanity to discover himself. And then he goes on to say about basically what Beef said, that it sucks that someone thinks that it's just extraterrestrials and not just the creativity of a great mind. Yeah.
It's a little bit like you get these ultra creative people that will try the sensory deprivation chambers to see what it'll throw out.
Yeah. Mm.
He's just pushing himself to see what this is going to throw out of him.
Yeah. After he came back from the cave, he drew the grotesques as well. Have you seen the picture of the grotesques?
No.
Remind me. Oh, no, I haven't seen that one before. I haven't
seen
that.
They're the grotesques.
Oh, wait a minute.
So people surmise that he saw that, but I, like the guy says in the article, I think, just, you know, people did surreal art all the time back in those days. So it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Just because a lot of his
illustrations
and paintings mean something doesn't mean they all have to mean something.
No, I know.
That's his tank.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is the thing. Like, I'm sure that all that happened was that he was just looking for peace and quiet. He had these ideas, but needed to seclude himself to be able to give focus to what he really wanted to give focus to. Just shut out all the background noise of life.
So Tis talking about, you know, him seeing the whale skeleton in there and then realising, you know, water levels change and things like that.
Hmm.
This isn't really relevant to the show, but you know, I said I was walking along the Yorkshire Dales the other weekend.
Yeah.
And I sent that picture of the like crisscrossy rock formation I was standing on, the view over it.
Oh, yeah.
That was an ancient Ice Age waterfall.
Really?
Yeah, that's what that massive rocky thing I was standing on was like. That's why it's all like weird and the rocks are all jagged, because it would have had all the water running over it, you know, all those years ago, thousands of years ago. Amazing, right?
That's nuts. Mm.
My brother is in Iceland at the moment.
Awesome.
Excited for him because it sounds like a great trip he's got planned. He's going to all the same landmarks that me and you went to, Bob.
Yep.
So Da Vinci, great man.
Yep. what a lovely man.
Lovely, lovely man. Also, the plans that we were talking about earlier, Da Vinci's plans. He invented the submarine and the helicopter ahead of
time.
Yes,
the helicopter's the one. I've seen the images of the helicopter.
Yeah, the spiral sort of thing.
When you say he invented the helicopter...
He invented it, but never got to do it because the technology wasn't there.
He thought of the design and he was like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like he came up with concepts of things. That's what I was saying earlier, that like there was no physical way to create with the technology then. It's almost like he was thinking so far in advance.
We've designed stuff that would work, like the Dyson Sphere would work in theory with the technology, but we don't have the technology. So in, I don't know, 2,000 years, if they watched In a Nutshell's Dyson Sphere video on YouTube, then they'd be like, fuck, this guy was Da Vinci. But yeah.
Yeah, there's geniuses among us that we don't even know yet.
Yeah, they're all on YouTube, right?
Hell yeah, there's a lot of geniuses on there.
The revolution will not be televised.
Not on my telly, anyway.
No, they're all on the History Channel.
That's where the real geniuses are.
So, before we move on to the other segment, I wanted to show you guys some UFOs from the Renaissance period, because there's a lot of paintings with UFOs in them. And it's kind of relevant, and I don't think it would fit in anywhere else on the episode spectrum. So let's watch a little bit of this, and we'll stop between them and discuss them.
Okay, so pictures of UFOs during the Renaissance.
So Mary on the Rocks, there's one up here, and there's a guy you can even see in the background looking up, and his dog's barking, and it looks like a UFO.
Okay.
There's one here. The black thing there with the lights coming down.
That's almost got like a tractor beam coming down from it.
Yeah. That's mad, isn't it?
I mean, is that not just sunlight?
No, but there's like a little disc above it.
I can't see the disc.
It's next to the U for UFO. There's like a disc shape.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. So we're
What's that one? That's the guy's head.
We're going to see a close-up of the Mary on the Rocks one. Look at that.
That is weird to be in such a famous painting.
I've not seen that before.
That's a UFO in a painting, dude.
He's convinced. He's all turned around on it.
That does look like a UFO.
It is weird. It looks like it's been photoshopped on. It's that weird.
The sun and the moon, apparently. But the sun and the moon, apparently, were not
depicted. They got people in them.
In religious photos back then. So they're saying it could be UFOs.
Is that a person within the sun?
Yeah. They're a person in the moon here as well.
The end of All Star Superman by Grant Morrison ends with Superman inside the sun controlling it. It's like a really iconic imagery, and I feel that's like that bizarre. Was inspired by Da Vinci.
So I'll put the video of that on the blog. Some of them are pretty crazy. Have to be seen to be
some
believed.
Some of them are pretty crazy.
The Madonna on the Rocks one, more than most, it's got like the blob in the back, and then it's got
I don't know what that's supposed to be.
Well, exactly. What else could it be?
Well,
it's a UFO. Well, the thing is, right, if you don't even have to confirm it's aliens. All you have to do is confirm that there is a UFO phenomena where people see UFOs. That happens. People see them, whether
that's
it's real or not.
Yeah. The way that everyone says like about UFOs now, maybe that isn't a modern thing. Maybe even during the Renaissance, there was people going, oh yeah, I was abducted by aliens.
Maybe that phenomena is just an archetype of something that's in us, that's human, that we never explained. But it doesn't have to be that it's aliens. It just has to be that people back then were just as fucking confused about that shit as us.
Maybe Da Vinci was like a real, you know, UFO nut. He was a real Mulder of his time.
Mulder and Scully.
Can I just? I mean, it could also be just a mistake, surely.
Fox Da Vinci. No, he doesn't make mistakes.
Renaissance artists never made mistakes. That's the thing about Renaissance. No mistakes, man.
Da Vinci didn't make mistakes, mate.
Yeah.
Come on, artists make mistakes all the time.
Only mistake he made was dying, bro.
All right, fair enough. It looks like he's sneezed with the brush in his hand and done a little damp and thought, well, the rest is pretty banging, so I'm going to leave it.
Done a little.
Apparently his last words were, I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They're good last words. I want those to be my last words.
I feel like they definitely weren't his last words, but they just they never are they? It's like someone's got written
like,
down.
I think I've shit myself or something. You know, it's embarrassing.
It's like you put in your final will what your last words want to be.
Yeah.
And then you don't have
you
to
say something
them.
Good near your death, and that's considered your last words.
Yeah. What would you do if your last words on earth were really corny or cheesy?
I'd be really embarrassed from the afterlife.
If they made your life into a film off the back of you having a corny one-liner at the end.
Yeah. No. I don't know how I'd want to be remembered.
I want my last words to be that life is a series of peaks and troughs, and you don't know when you're in a peak until you're climbing down.
So something very trite.
That's an office thing, isn't it? This is, do you know what famous philosopher said that? Dolly Parton. Yeah.
Yeah, it's from The Office. Some people say she's just a big pair of tits.
Oh, some people say she's... Brilliant. Right, so we've got the second segment, which is dissecting a
of
lot
the
of...
the Da Vinci orange.
There's a lot of science fiction in this bit.
Really? No. Surely not.
The book, The Da Vinci Code,
Dan Brown's
was a science fiction book, but apparently there are some old theories in it, which also included Da Vinci. Do you know about this, Beef or Bob?
What, in The Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, yeah. What the Da Vinci Code was about.
I know there's mentions of Da Vinci in it because it's in the name.
I know. Have you read it?
No, I've never read it.
I've not read it.
I've seen the film.
Do you know what Da Vinci has to do with any of it?
Yeah, it's about the painting of the Last Supper, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And
so,
the code within it.
The Last Supper, they surmise.
For the Holy Grail?
The Holy Grail, yes.
Right.
They believe that the Holy Grail and the Last Supper was, in fact... decoded, the painting was decoded with messages about Mary Magdalene being Jesus's wife and mother of his children.
Because the whole thing about the book slash film is that it's possible that there's still ancestors of Jesus living today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through Jesus and Mary Magdalene. It's in the film.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently Da Vinci in the picture depicts where John should be. In Da Vinci's one, they're saying it's Mary Magdalene because it's a very effeminate looking man.
Right.
And the Holy Grail is the lineage, and that has been kept by the Priory of Zion. The Priory of Zion is the cult linked in with the Knights Templar.
That's it.
And the Knights Templar are quite interesting. I researched quite a bit. I researched quite a bit for this episode, but I won't stick on it too long. But the Knights Templar, I didn't realise they were sort of penniless knights. They didn't take any. They were really rich, the whole organisation, but the knights themselves were sworn to chastity, being poor, and basically fighting in the name of God.
Yeah, I would say there's almost enough weird shit to do with the Knights Templar to do an episode on that at some point.
Definitely, yeah.
I don't know much about them, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, they were. They basically started the first bank. You could give in your valuables to a local Knights Templar. They would value it, give you a slip, and then you could go and redeem it from any other Knights Templar knight around the world for the same value.
Oh, would they charge you £1.95 to throw it back out again?
Maybe.
Do you get interest on it?
No,
what's the rates?
Who knows?
Yeah, when you take it in, they go, this is interesting.
But it's crazy, right? They were crazy rich, big organization. But anyway.
It's basically the Rothschilds today.
I've got a little video about the hidden messages in Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm interested in this.
Brilliant hidden messages in Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper. Leonardo da Vinci was one of the world's greatest artists of all time and an intellectual of the Italian Renaissance, who is well known for his work in The Last Supper and the Mona Lisa paintings. Da Vinci was born on April 15, 1452, and died on May 2, 1519. He was a painter, sculptor, architect, inventor, and much more. Leonardo's most famous painting of the 15th century is The Last Supper, commissioned for the refectory of the Convent of Santa Maria delle Grazie in Milan. It represents the last meal shared by Jesus with his disciples before his capture and death, and shows the moment when Jesus has just said, "One of you will betray me." What is interesting is that The Last Supper, when examined from a closer, more knowledgeable outlook, as explained by Manly P. Hall, is that we can start to see that Da Vinci, who had access to the secret Vatican libraries, and a 33-degree mason, which is a word that originates from the root of Masora, conveyors of tradition, had some very important information in his works, hidden in plain sight. The first sign of the zodiac is not Capricorn, but Aries, the sign of the ram, which is why we see the ram symbolism all throughout ancient cultures.
I've fallen through this bit because it's not really relevant.
So now let's take a closer look at the hidden messages in Da Vinci's The Last Supper. The Last Supper is also known as Nisan, which is the spring equinox, generally falling on March 21st yearly. There are 12 disciples, including the Son of God, Jesus, makes it 13. Paying close attention to the hand gestures of each of the disciples, explained by Hall, you would see that each one shows representation of the celestial zodiac sign, starting with Aries at the head of the table and ending with Pisces. The only female in the zodiac is the Virgo, Virgin, and is portrayed as Mary Magdalene, the only female in the Last Supper. Mary meaning High Priestess, Magdalene means Tower of Knowledge, Jesus meaning Zeus, and Christ meaning gold, also make a trinity, which is a human connection to God. Traditionally, the trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What happened to the woman? How could she not exist in this equation? It is man, woman, Holy Spirit, or God that is clearly depicted in all alchemical drawings and in the mystical Jewish Kabbalah as Chachma, understanding female, and Bina, wisdom male, unite to get together, crown, Holy Spirit.
It kind of goes on to different things, so that's kind of the most relevant part. But what do you think about that? What do you think he's depicting Mary Magdalene? What do you think? Mm-hmm. Beef. Do you know a lot about this beef, about it being Joseph or Mary Magdalene? Because we're going to watch a video in a bit which explains that Joseph is always depicted to the right of Jesus.
No, I don't know too much about it, but my reaction to it has always been, it's like I said earlier, it's a piece of art. It's down to interpretation, and I think you can't read that closely into something and assume that that's, and I think some people get so caught up in this painting, but it's not a photo. It's not a photo of the Last Supper. It's his interpretation of it. So I've not really paid too much attention to it, to be honest.
But because Da Vinci had a penchant for drawing codes into his drawings, putting meaning deeper, layering it.
Yeah,
he That's did. Why and then
run amok with their imagination, I guess.
I think because he did, sometimes people think he did all the time. Like, there's no meaning behind the Mona Lisa, is there?
Well, there's a lot of videos found on that where it's all about, what expression she's giving, the smile, Mona Lisa smile.
I do see stuff like that, but how much meaning can there be in that? Also, the book, the Da Vinci Code, was so huge when that came out. And it did make people sort of run wild with this theory of the Last Supper.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, that is just like an adventure book.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I think about when I think about this sort of stuff is if the Catholic Church is as secretive as people make out, and it's got, you know, stuff to hide. People say they always have things to cover up. Why would you reveal that information, even if you only revealed truth in part? Why would you reveal it to a renowned artist and an intelligent man who was able to project code into his work? And they probably would have known at the time that he was someone who liked to do that. So why would you do that? If you had secrets, why would you release some of it to this man who was known to be very intelligent and interpretive and someone who could look at the world in a different way?
Well, the counter argument to that would be that he was so intelligent that he worked out for himself.
Yeah, maybe.
But only if they let him into the depths of the Vatican.
Yeah, he had access to the Vatican archives, apparently.
Did he?
Being a student of, he worked at the Vatican for a long time doing a lot of drawings.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But this is what I mean. So they may have given him access, but do you not think they would have gone, Leo's coming in, should we not hide some of this shit?
Yeah, chuck a blanket over that.
And yeah, he may have interpreted it anyway, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying the Catholic Church has anything to hide. I mean,
I am. I've got an episode coming up where I am saying that.
Well, I'm obviously not being Catholic. I don't know for sure, and it's not really something I've spent much time looking at. But that's just my way of thinking about it. But it is. It's all interesting stuff, and I'm sure there's secrets in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, because of who he is, I mean, he's definitely hidden stuff in there. Is it as explosive as, like, you know, the bloodline of Jesus Christ lives on? Or is he just put a little few Easter eggs and in-jokes in there?
Mm. Yeah. Apparently there's this Priory of Sion, which Da Vinci was a part of, Isaac Newton was a part of, which is like a secret society of knowledge being passed
Illuminati.
Down.
Illuminati.
Yeah, apparently. Mm. Apparently it was to do with the Knights Templar as well. But the science fiction and the myth kind of combine and we're not sure. I mean,
it's impossible to know what's what when something, you know, 1400s or whatever, things get lost in translation.
Yeah, especially when a book comes out about it. Like the
a lot of people just think that Dan Brown book is based in fact and stuff because
yeah, so they run with ideas and then don't show they're working and it comes.
And in
back
the future as well, like everything gets absorbed into the culture. So the popularity and fame of that book will get absorbed into the culture of the history of that going forward. So generations ahead of this will take things from that as fact. When it's just a popular sci-fi book. So it's really interesting how culture absorbs things.
Yeah, definitely.
I think at the time when it came out, lots of people thought it was like a non-fiction book.
Yeah, like based on truth sort of thing.
Yeah, and people now.
I mean, when War of the Worlds broadcast on the radio, people thought it was real as well.
Yeah.
And right. And this is where the church was guilty in being extremely... like stupid in thinking this as well, because it's like the episode of The Office when there's the fire and they're all outside and Angela's like, I take the Da Vinci Code so I could burn the Da Vinci Code. Like that was unfortunately Christians at the time were pretty defensive and a bit upset about it, but it's just a book, isn't it?
They can do that sometimes, like groups of any large group of people. So for this example, Christianity, there are outliers within that group who will take things to an extreme. It's like the, you know, you get hear about lots of Christians in America saying Harry Potter is like evil. Chill out.
That's just slow.
It's a fucking kid's
thing. It's something that pervades their worldview and sort of muddies the waters for them, and they would rather not have to think about potential other things that could have happened.
Well, it just makes other people who have the same beliefs as them look stupid, because there's on the other side of it, people go, "Oh, Christians are nuts. They think Harry Potter's
thing
evil."
Is there's,
like,
there's
no,
just stupid
some,
people.
Some are.
There's stupid people in all walks of life, and they make it difficult for everyone who's similar to them. Always, there's not one type of person who doesn't have someone bad representing their, you know, beliefs or something.
It's like we said a few episodes ago about not wanting to say in public that we're podcasters.
Yeah.
Because there's so many dickhead podcasters around nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, it depends on, you can take, we could all read the same book and we will end up with three different interpretations.
Yeah.
But me and Rachel always say with Harry Potter, we're like, the people that would say, well, Harry Potter is against the Bible and he's evil and don't read it, it's going to corrupt your mind and Satan's going to come and, like, kill you for reading it. They don't say that, but they go a bit crazy. They clearly haven't read the whole saga. They haven't read all the books, because the message behind all of it is that Harry gives his life for his friends, which is the most Christian message there is.
Yeah.
So it's just a load of bullshit. Get over yourselves.
Because Jesus didn't do it, it's... blasphemous.
Only Jesus can do that.
So I've got a really good video, which is the other side of that story with the Last Supper.
The Last Supper, one of Leonardo da Vinci's most famous works, plays a key role in Ron Howard's 2006 blockbuster, The Da Vinci Code. The movie claims the figure sitting to Jesus's right is Mary Magdalene, not the disciple John, as the church would have us believe, and that she is the Holy Grail.
When I saw the movie of Dan Brown and I read the book, I was very happy because it was a very beautiful novel, but it's science fiction.
Mario Tadai is a Milan-based inventor and an expert on the works of Leonardo da Vinci. He spent 15 years analyzing the Renaissance master's work, trying to get inside his mind. Mario doesn't believe the movie's claims, and for good reason. He knows Da Vinci's version of The Last Supper was just that, a version.
Before Leonardo da Vinci, there are hundreds of Last Suppers, and when he painted The Last Suppers, he had to follow some rules. The rules wants to have the people in that position with that smile so people can recognize the different apostles one by one.
Before Leonardo's Last Supper, all of the other copies looked very similar. Artists used the same formula to depict Christ's disciples. St. Peter handles a knife. Judas carries a purse of silver. And St. John, the youngest disciple, is always shown as a youthful, feminine-looking figure.
Is this John or Maria Magdalene? Is a very easy question, but it's a stupid question. Because it must be John, because Leonardo had to copy the Last Supper before him, and John looks like a woman. Leonardo da Vinci just copied these things because they must be in this way, so it must be recognizable as John. That's it.
Simple.
So there you go. That guy is pretty sure in his views.
Yeah. He was just, yeah. He's basically saying, well, it's kind of known that John was kind of a feminine looking guy. So he's just drawing it as he's always been portrayed. Of course, John would be there.
But yeah.
End of story.
Yeah, I think also the disciples, when they would have been with Jesus, would have been teenagers. So somewhere between the ages of like 15 and 19.
Right.
How old was Jesus when he got killed?
33. No, that's how old he was in the prime, wasn't it?
No, so he was somewhere between sort of 33, 35, somewhere like that.
When he did his like miracle year, when he did most of his work, he's considered to be 33. I know that.
Sorry?
That's mad.
When he had his like most prolific time,
yeah,
he's considered to be about 33. I know that.
Yeah.
And he would have died like a year or two after that time, because that's when he became most famous, during that year.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Estimated.
So we're pretty close to our Jesus prime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Year after next, I'll be in my prime.
I've got literally no followers. I'm not doing very good.
That's why Superman is often portrayed as being 33, because they always do like parallels
between him and Jesus.
A lot of writers like to draw parallels on, you know, Jesus and Superman, and because Superman died and was resurrected and things like that, they draw parallels on it, and they, for that reason, they often quote him as being 33.
It's blasphemous, mate.
Is it?
Yeah, is it?
It's just classic storytelling, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Speaking of classic storytelling, have you seen...
Okay.
I'll find out about that. Awesome. Anyway, back to Da Vinci, because we've derailed.
No, wow. We are. We're on. We're finished. There's all the Da Vinci information.
Came from nowhere.
Oh, yeah, finished. Completed it, mate.
Just the second segment. There's loads. I mean, there's not really. The whole conspiracy stuff is mainly about the messages in his paintings. Yeah. He's a great guy.
So you ended up becoming very interested in Da Vinci after researching it?
Yeah, super interested. I'm going to get his biography on audiobook, listen to that.
Nice.
I really like that a lot of the geometry sort of breakthroughs he made it possible for us to make robotics 500 years on. That's pretty crazy.
It is insane.
The crossover between like the mathematics and the art... and the theories and the science, like, is really interesting. There's not many people that will span that breadth of fields.
I wonder if it's, like, a lesson on how we should prioritize that type of... like, if he was a genius and he studied that, maybe people should study that as standard in schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we have more geniuses, but then people with less relevant information to get on with their job, you know, somewhere else.
I just feel bad for the guy that he's clearly not intelligent, because aliens told him everything.
aliens
gave him a shortcut.
And why doesn't that still happen today?
I have no doubt there were extraterrestrials. That's how he says it.
No doubt.
That's every time.
Do you have doubt that it was extraterrestrials?
Yes.
Do I have doubt?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I have doubt, and then I also have severe anxiety that other people don't have doubt.
I do wonder whether we've been visited by aliens.
What, do you think we might have been?
No, well, I haven't seen any compelling enough evidence, apart from the Phoenix Lights, a few phenomena like that. But still, I mean, those lights could be anything. It couldn't just be UFOs. It could be, fuck knows, anything.
Yeah, it's not compelling enough, really, is it?
They don't know enough about this planet.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility, sorry.
I just feel like if they have, they're not bothered about us that much. Or they're kind of leaving us alone, so we should just forget about them anyway.
I don't think that we should just go along with this idea, this narrative that they are way more intelligent than we are. Don't understand that at all.
I think dolphins are definitely way more intelligent than we are. I think dolphins have got it made in the shade.
Made in the shade.
Although, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. We're gonna have a lot more advances in our technology, but they get to just dance around the sea. They play with fish between each other.
That's the height of happiness. There we go.
That's what they need to do. Like, if you can live a full life just doing that shit, then you must have it pretty sorted in the mental department. They probably get depression and anxiety, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
If you have that enough self-awareness, then it's inevitable.
Yeah. I don't know. Dolphins don't have, like, crippling credit card debt. Or
neither do I. I still feel miserable.
crippling Tory power,
or maybe not even that, but they don't have bills that are like looming on the horizon that they have to think
yeah
about.
I definitely have that,
or an MOT.
I'm still waiting for my first payday of this year.
How crazy is it about octopus? They think the octopus are the most advanced race on this planet, by the way.
Yeah, I know, we race. Spoke about this last time. We spoke about race. The dinosaurs one.
Yeah, that's nuts. I'm still really impressed.
It's time for the Weird Tales Octopus Minute.
Yeah, octopuses are horrible. It's the octopi. Coconut video, isn't it?
So are whales.
Octopi are fucking mental, mate. They are mental.
Terrifying.
I mean, yeah. Maybe being self-aware isn't the most efficient and longest survival rate of any animal. Sometimes animals that just are fucking shit hot at hunting and intelligent enough to adapt just get on better than we do.
Yeah. Da Vinci, have we got anything more to say about the man?
No, we're gonna wrap up. I need to get to bed.
Cool. I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoyed researching it. I did a little bit too much research and I felt like I went off topic a few times, but
it felt like I like ones like this where it's like a real grab bag. We look at a lot of different things kind of quickly. Kind of similar to the dinosaurs one where it's like, we're going to look at some extinction theories and some theories and then that. And then this felt like, you know, some alien stuff, some of this, some of that, some painting.
I didn't want it to be purely a bio of Da Vinci because
there's too much.
We need a conspiracy to be thrown in there for the sake of the episode, I guess.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. This is maybe, I think I might have, this might be my fave of the new batch since we've been back.
Really?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Nice. I don't know if I'm just in the mood for this one tonight. You've caught me at the right moment.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. Very enjoyable. It was a good like biography / conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
Let's do the...
So I'm going to run through the gump, then we'll do Listener of the Week. So if you want to find any of the links that Tiss is going to send me about the videos and pictures and everything from this episode, you go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. You can look at the blog there for this and every other episode that exists. And you can also find links on there to follow us on our various social media places, our Twitter accounts, our Facebook account, those things. You can contact us at unexplainableuk@mail.com to suggest episodes or say hi or whatever. Or you can send us original music that we like to use for the outros. There's also a way to contact us on the website that I previously mentioned. From the website, you can also buy merch, which I always forget to mention. You can follow the link to our TeePublic store. buy t-shirts and things, and you can also donate to the podcast to help us keep running. Also, ratings and reviews on iTunes are really helpful. Did I get everything?
Yeah, probably.
I'm getting good at that.
Listener of the week.
This week, I had a really fun story that I was going to bring up, but I can't remember it, so I have to hold it off to the next one. For now, I'm going to give it to a listener called James Waddington.
Listener of the week.
He's listened for a while, and he sent us a nice email recently. But he's also makes music. Tis, he's from your neck of the woods. He's from Bristol.
Nice.
Awesome.
And he makes music under the name, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Ratliost. And he sent me a link to his SoundCloud page, which I'll also put a link to on the website. So the outro music this week is going to be the track 0536 from Ratliost, aka James Waddington, listener of the week.
Nice.
It's a good track as well. It's like a sort of ambient electronica.
Awesome.
Oh, I need to listen to this.
Nice beats and
send me the link.
Stuff.
Put it in the group chat.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm loving the listener music that's going in, by the way. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a few more to use, and I'd love... I really am enjoying listening to the variety of music that our listeners make. So, yeah, keep sending them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we'll be back in 2 weeks. It's Beefy next, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah. That'll be your second one, and then we've all done two each. And then maybe after Beef, we'll do a ghost stories just to break it up.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Because I've got so many ghost stories submissions, so that'll be like a nice easy one for us. And we've also had quite a few requests for some more ghost story stuff, because it's been a long time. So Beef, we'll do one next, and then it'll be a ghost stories, and then we'll be back to a me episode.
Yeah, sounds ghost, good.
Ghosts with toast.
Ghosts with toast. Anyway, to wrap up this episode, go for it, Tissy.
Da Vinci, you later.
Da Vinci, see you later.
Oh, mate, you missed the trick there.
Yeah, start again. So until next time.
Da Vinci, see you later.
Yeah, such enthusiasm.
Well done.
Da Vinci, see you later. Let's all do it all together. Let's all do it together on the count of three. Until next time. One,
Da Vinci,
two, three. Da Vinci, no. See you later.
Tis.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm going to point when we do it. So until
on the count of three.
Until next time.
Da Vinci, see you later.
Da Vinci, see you later. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Love you.
Bye. See you later. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Bye. Bye.
Life is just a series of peaks and troughs. And you don't know whether you're in a trough until you're climbing out or on a peak until you're coming down. And that's it, you know, you never know what's round the corner. But it's all good, you know. If you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain. Do you know which philosopher said that? Dolly Parton. Yeah. And people say she's just a big pair of tits.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.